Better, smarter, faster. The future of connected healthcare relies on a powerful digital ecosystem and robust neural network to drive better diagnostics, intelligent operations, and seamless care anywhere. Join us as we talk to the experts about transformational roadmaps for this evolving landscape. What's working, what's needed, and how we get there together. Welcome to Healthcare on Air, presented by Verizon. I'm back for the second part of my conversation with Raj and Chris of Tech Mahindra. Be sure to check out part one of this conversation where we discuss the critical importance of partnerships. Okay, let's jump back in.
Maybe Raj, I'd love to hear more about, you know, where focus is Verizon. I think a lot of booths here, patient experience, clinician experience, both in the four walls of a hospital and now in the home. What does that experience look like? How can we, through connectivity and devices, make that experience more frictionless, just like they get in other industries? My question to you is, you know, we talked about competing priorities. I know you have your kind of four pillars you focus on. Can you drill down on
our aim and mission is to help the health systems to ensure the care is accessible, equitable, and it is the quality at an affordable cost. How do you achieve all these things? You know, it is many factors come into play if we have to achieve all these things.
Absolutely.
And one has to have a strong data and analytics capability for you to drive actionable insights and then pop it up so that the next best action is taken at the very moment the patient is, you know, wherever he is intersecting with the healthcare, right? Yeah. For you to, and it's getting your data intense, I would say, operations, right? So to speak.
Healthcare kicks off the most data of any.
So, and if he hasn't handled all this data, then obviously you need the bandwidth that is required to transport this data in the right time to the right point. You know, all those things are there, right? Without, you know, compromising on the security of the transport. So that's when the, you know, your bandwidth and Verizon come in play, you know, to make it reliable, you know, in terms of the connectivity and whatnot. And also helps in, you know, some of the solutions that we are talking to Verizon about, you know, how do we create these smart patient rooms, how that can be put in a box and then taken to the, you know, home and can be a care transition, a care continuum, you know, vehicle, so to speak, right? So if you have to do all these stuff, you need a partner, you know, who can provide the reliable, you know, connectivity and bandwidth, so to speak. Because all these medical devices companies are getting up for, you know, the 5G enablement and what. So look at the number of devices that is going to pump in data into the network, right? You know, so you had to have a capable network to handle all those data. As we go into the smart patient rooms and home health and whatnot. So that's where we see, you know, together with Verizon, we can probably, you know, help some of these priorities delivered, you know, health equity, you know,
conversation.
Access, right? You know, how do we, you know, from home, you know, the patients are going to get access to the healthcare needs. So there's a strong, play for Verizon and Tekim, you know, to partner and then deliver some of these priorities for the patients and members our hospital system. So,
from your perspective, as someone that can look at the footprint of a hospital, all the technology, tech stack, all the programs, you know, be the kind of third eye to audit all that technology and say, hey, this you need to do these things more efficiently. Here's where you can scale up, scale down. And bring the and make the case for an ROI. Where are you seeing the areas where you can prove out the ROI and the kind of the it's a big question.
It has to play in parts, right? Definitely infrastructure. There is a clear ROI that you can establish. And the clinical productivity and operational efficiency, which I call it the middle office. You know, if we had to compare a friend middle and Mac offers as anybody compares. Sprint is something around patient engagement, Whittle is something around clinical care delivery that happens. Mac offers is more of the infrastructure and that supports the whole operations, right? In the back end, you can definitely create pull the other way out, right? And similarly, middle office, which is the clinical productivity and operational efficiency, the models, you know, people are creating to pull that other way out. Where it gets difficult is on the patient experience part, right? You know, that's where to respond. It's not easy to create an ROI framework. Because it's one thing is, you know, one thing you can ask patients or members is how happy is your last visit.
Yeah.
Right. That is not going to give you any indication on, you know, there is, you know, patient can say, yes, I'm happy. No, I'm not happy about it. But that's not going to give you a leading indicator in terms of what is that I need to go and then work on. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, and where is that origin of that dissatisfaction? You got to get to it. So it gets
tough.
Complex when it comes to patient engagement experience to really pin the ROI. But the other part of the middle and back office, there is ways to you can demonstrate the ROI,
right,
and then, you know, help health systems to, you know, move the needle in terms of the transformation that they want to.
So you're responsible for that third piece, the hardest one.
So what we did is we took two buckets, really, soft ROI and then financial ROI. So we take those two buckets, and it was really interesting. So we had a great day, spent a day out at Verizon in Irving, Texas, and I learned more about it. And I was probably one of those guys saying, like, what is Verizon doing in healthcare? And
then all the time.
But then it just clicked. So taking that to the ROI question or just the experience question, we try to match up our pillars at Health Next as best possible, specifically to Tech Mahindra, but a little bit more granular. So ours are around acquisition. Now, these are health system specific, provider specific. Acquisition, access, loyalty, remote care, and wellness. So, but when I looked at what Verizon was doing, it's critical. Like, I was like, well, we can't do acquisition the way we're promoting acquisition. We definitely couldn't do access because the access is here nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, affordable and portability, same with loyalty. And then remote care is you know, quickly defined. Yeah, exactly. It's required because now you have the device management. You know, I really learned a ton from what Verizon is doing. It's absolutely necessity and critical to it. But we're able to now take at least those four pillars, the wellness one, what we call WellNext. There's some different ROI indicators on that one. The first four, though, we can really look at things like acquisition is pretty easy. If you're a health system today that's still working through your value-based care models and whatnot, they're still looking to care for new patients, you know, and bring on new patients. So that one's fairly easy. We can look at the ratio of new patients that come through the doors of a health system, especially if they come through digitally, and identify some specific financial ROIs. Some of the other ones around, you know, loyalty, for instance, even access, those don't immediately bring financial ROI.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at, like, access is a big one on just patient surveys. You know, so access is probably the one that comes up the most around their ability to do the things that they're trying to do quickly, efficiently, in a timely manner, not waiting, you know, months for an appointment. Like, was I able to get this done? Was I able to pay my bill? Was I able to fill my
schedule? The delays to get a doc is real.
It's real, right.
People, unless they've been through it recently, I personally, like, it's not easy to get a primary care doc, and especially it's a long time to wait.
Yeah. And that's what's interesting when I said, like, the demographic and that, the younger generation, I just don't see them waiting. Do you know what I mean?
No, they want it here now.
Yeah,
that's why I think, like, it's opening up. Like, there's opportunities for people that can give care here and now.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like this.
Well, and when you said loyalty, do you, in that same bucket, do you put in the staff loyalty and retention in that bucket?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well?
Okay. Both on that. So consumer, patient, staff, employee, and then You know, we look at things, especially with what's going on, not to go off topic, with staff shortages and what's happening in healthcare.
Yeah.
We also look at through the application and the technology, are we able to help streamline processes to put people in positions to best serve that patient community through in utilizing technology to help with some of the staff shortages and crises?
Yeah, I always think never replacing the staff, but just filling in some of the holes.
Absolutely.
That, like telesitting is often use case. There's no need for folks to be sitting there when you can watch through technology. Let's talk about AI, because
that's a lot of AI. You know, I think health systems are all still trying to test the water, for lack of a better term, side view in terms of, because they're all dealing with life and dead situations, right? You know, it's about the life of a patient or, the implications on the care, right? So they are going to be a careful in doctors.
Yep.
But they're very open because of the shortage that they see in the talent in terms of the care providers or caregivers. So the only way they can possibly bridge the talent gap or capability gap, or talent gap, or it's not capability gap, because the demand is more, supply is less, right? How do we address this situation, right?
And it's not getting any, it's not getting
it's
any
not
better.
It's not going to get any better soon, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a plan to get there, but I'm saying, how can we possibly, reduce some of the cognitive burden on these caregivers, right?
Mm.
So then the AI comes in play. It may not be a decision maker, but patient support, role that AI can play.
Yeah.
To prop up all the information that doc wants, help them navigate across different specialties, help pull in all the different specialties for hold some care. So there is AI is going to have a play, but the approach has been more cautious in the clinical space.
Yeah.
But on the administrative space, there is much more, progress happening. Microsoft Nuance and all the stuff, conversation AI and all the stuff is picking up. But from the clinical side, it's going to be a cautious, play. But I think any CMIO we speak to, any CMO we speak to, they're very open because it's going to help address some of the challenges they're going through in terms of staffing, providers and staff nurses.
I watched one session. It was Google and a startup. It was basically a payer, a provider, startup, and Google, talking about AI. And you're exactly right. What they said was, let's start with the back office. Yeah. All those things that we can automate. The stats they had on how many clicks and screens and time spent, your wife knows.
Yeah, she does. Sometimes she has to bring you home because, they're seeing back-to-back patients.
Yeah, right.
They don't have time to put in their notes and whatnot. Yeah. Any help that we can provide the providers to, automate some of these stuff, they will be very thankful to all of us, right?
Yeah.
And we have to do that.
Right? Yeah.
As a technologist, it's incumbent on us to, help them.
Punit Soni, he's the CEO of Suki AI. He said, we made these incredibly smart folks who they're incredibly educated, incredibly talented. We made them into glorified data clerks.
Right.
They're
right.
Really just, keystroking. That's not what they're trained for. So that's a perfect use case for AI to come and take away all that time. And that would obviously help with the burnout and better outcomes. It's really fascinating.
You know what I've been pleased with here at Vive is that it hasn't been the overwhelming push of AI just to say AI. Because you saw that for a while. Organizations were just using the AI term. And then you're like, well, what AI are you using? What problem are you solving for?
Yeah.
So it hasn't been overwhelming. Everything I've seen so far here.
It's contextual.
Exactly contextual. And we look at it, we had a, do some searching ourselves to say, how to utilize AI, and is it truly AI, and how are we going to utilize Gen AI and whatnot?
Yeah.
And when we took it and went pre-encounter, during encounter, post-encounter, and how can we better serve our providers and payers within our own health systems and payers and life sciences group across the whole board. How can we better serve them this way? And we've come up with a really nice strategy that really shows, okay, you know, pre-encounter, these are the things that are going to make it easier for the health system and for the consumer. During the encounter, these are the things that AI can play a role in. And post-encounter, and this one's big because this allows the physicians to be physicians but still stay connected to provide care by utilizing AI. So we've been looking at it that way. And even here, we haven't pushed our AI models too much because I think we were all a little overwhelmed with AI. You know what I mean? Like, it was coming at us so fast. But it's awesome, and I've seen some great stuff here.
Yeah. You know, it has a role to play, and it is far, far better. It can also solve the access issue that we are faced with today, right?
Yeah.
If the physicians and the caregivers are spending more time at the bedside and free up the administrative burden that they have today, you know, it's going to free up the bandwidth. So he or she can give the appointment to another patient or member. So it can possibly help not only improve or reduce the cognitive burden on the physicians. I see it as a access play too, right?
100%. Yeah. And I think like another comment that was made, which I didn't even think about it, the number of people that would say, you know, to their kids, their friends, you know, would you recommend being a doctor now? It's not good.
No.
So like,
no.
we need to fix that really quickly because we need more doctors going into the workforce and nurses. I know there's a huge push. I'm excited about there's a nurse pavilion here.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of, hopefully you guys agree that I think, you know, this nurse-led design, nurses obviously going to be using a ton of technology. Well, they should have some kind of, you know, a bigger role in saying, you know, the design of that technology to fit into their workflows. So it's been a good show so far.
It's been a good show. I think we're glad that, you know, we're working with Verizon to solve some of these issues the healthcare system is for. Faced with, and I think together, the good thing about TechM is, you know, we play in life sciences, you know, payer and provider. You know, we have a strong partnership with Verizon.
Yeah.
You know, we can bring all these things together, right? You know, we're talking about the you know, surgery space, robotic surgery space, how we can possibly have a play there, right? You know, with the partnership that we're talking about, right? So there's a lot of things that needs to be done.
Yep.
I think we are excited about the future, you know, that this partnership is having and about the whole transformation the healthcare industry.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Raj. Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you guys are out there.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Nice to have you. So I think that's the spirit of this show. And for me, at least this year, we need partnerships to come together to really change the dynamics of healthcare. So thank you guys again. Thank you all for watching. If you want to access any of our content, you can go to Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you can find us on Healthcare Online by Verizon.com. Until next time, thank you.